Hey everybody, Sean Hammond with PremierGuitar.com. We're in Madison, Wisconsin at the Majestic with Jay Maskus.
Hey,
Jay?
How's it going?
Good. Thanks so much for joining us.
Alright.
We've got all the guitars that you have with you today lined up here. Do you want to just go through the lineup and tell us about each one?
Alright, I usually bring these two Sunburst ones if I'm traveling, but since, you know, we drove from home, I brought a few other ones just in case. The main one,
it's what year is this one?
63, I guess. I bought it right after my guitars got stolen a few years ago. It happened to be in a local shop, and they never have any old guitars, and it was just kind of there, and it actually was really nice, so.
Is it the original neck?
Yeah. I just put different pickup covers on it and different knobs and a different bridge, but...
So the pickups themselves are the original, just different covers?
Yeah.
Cool.
And I always put jumbo frets on the guitars, too.
Okay. And then are you the one who swapped out the bridge for like a Tune-O-Matic style or a Just-O-Matic or whatever they call them?
Yep. Yeah, I did that, too.
All right. Next to that, you've got a white one. Not one of your signature Squires, or is that? Is that a signature with a different neck on it?
That's kind of the... one the Squire's based on, I guess. It's a 58 Jazzmaster that got refinished, I guess. I bought it refinished. And I put some gold hardware on it. I had a gold whammy bar, the tremolo piece, but I haven't put it on, but I have it at home somewhere.
Where did you find those? I haven't seen the gold ones before.
Oh, eBay.
Just eBay? You like eBay. You have a cool pickguard on another one down there. We'll see in a second. Anything else special about this one? Does it have the original pickups, or?
No. I bought pickups, but it's other old pickups. They're like...
Just other vintage original Jazzmasters?
Yeah.
59, you said?
I think so.
Have you done anything to the wiring on either one of these or any of the others? Or pretty much standard?
Yeah, sometimes I'll disengage the top knobs and switch.
So that you don't accidentally go into the rhythm mode and lose all that attack and stuff?
Yeah, either that or I'll stuff a pencil eraser in the switch so I don't hit it.
That's a much easier way. Yeah, don't have to unscrew anything.
Yeah, but it's... you have to whittle it down with an X-Acto knife or something and jam it in there. So it's better, yeah, to get it wired right. The blue guitar, when I bought it, yeah, had an A neck, which was really thin, which I didn't like. But otherwise, I think they all are kind of similar.
Okay. Let's talk more about that blue one since we're on that subject anyway. So
yeah, that's, you know, yeah, it had an A neck, and it had at least sensor pickups in it when I got it.
Interesting.
I bought some other old pickups to put in it, and yeah, I bought the pick guard and the bridge, and then I ended up getting a 59 neck to put on it. It's a 63 body that's been refinished. And
who did you have do the refinishing?
It was just like that when I got it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then now, did you say the pickups you swapped into it to replace the laces that were original?
Yeah.
These are Fender pickups, or are they? I know you use Antiquities, yeah, Seymour Duncan
old,
Antiquities.
They're old.
Old Fenders?
Yeah. Okay.
All right,
I got the pickups from the same guy, both for that guitar. And some guy that pulls apart Jazzmasters and sells the parts.
Now, next to that, you do have one of your signature Squires.
Yeah,
is this one?
The second prototype that they sent me. The first one I didn't like, and then they sent this one, and I liked it. And
what was the difference between the two prototypes?
I think the neck on the first one was flat, kind of. Because they thought since I had the Tune-O-Matic bridge, I'd want the neck flat to match
the fretboard itself.
Yeah, the fretboard, but I don't like that. I just like the regular old Fender, where it's curved a bit. So
do you have? Are you just pretty much like I like sort of an old feel, or do you know the exact radius you like? Do you 9.5 inches or something?
Yeah, I think that's it.
Nine and a half.
That sounds right. But you know, they made this Rory Gallagher Strat copy, and I really like the neck on that, so I was just like, I like this neck. of, you know, the stuff you're making. So just try to make it like that. And, you know, I guess that's off because the bridge is straighter than the neck. So the E's are higher than off the, you know, than the middle strings, which I'm used to. I like that. So it doesn't bother me.
So on all the ones you get from Fender, or pretty much all of these, you're saying that since you put the Adjust-O-Matic bridge on it, it sort of makes the two E strings higher, the action on all of your guitars, pretty much?
Yeah, my action's really high on all the guitars, and nobody seems to be able to play them anyway. So everyone thinks I'm playing slide, or luthiers go, I can fix your action for you.
I like it higher, too. You can bash it harder and not worry about it and doesn't, you know, fret out, bottom out, whatever. Now, the Squire, we should say, you have replaced the pickups on that, right?
Yeah, I put Seymour Duncan Antiquities in that. I found, you know, I've tried a lot of pickups, and those seem to the closest to the old ones where it can swap the guitars and it doesn't sound too different.
Do you feel like Duncan pretty much nailed it, or do you notice a slight difference in various areas of the frequency response at all between the Antiquities and the original vintage ones? I mean, of course, the originals vary too, but...
Yeah, I think it's pretty good. I mean, all I can tell is that they're better than all the other ones I've tried. You know, I guess if I tried someone, that's the only gauge I have, is these were the closest one. Yeah.
The bridge plate itself is not stamped Fender and stuff on your Squire model. Do you keep the original one on that, or?
Yeah, actually, I thought about changing it, but the guy who was working on my guitars was like, no, this one's pretty good. You might as well just leave it on there till it.
Cool.
Because the other, some of the other ones I have are pretty heavy. They're Tone Pros, and I like those. They're pretty heavy duty.
Okay, so next to the Squire, we've got another Sunburst. What year is that?
That's 65. That's, the main backup one. And, I just got that from... I had a friend who worked at Guitar Center in New Hampshire, and he's like, oh, we got a Jazzmaster. And he sold it to me really cheap, so I'd never even seen it, but it turned out to be pretty good.
Cool, and that's got the original neck, too? Everything original?
Yeah, except the bridge I changed, and the frets, and probably the tuning pegs. And a lot of times I'll put in an extra string tree, too, if it seems to need it.
For the fourth and third strings?
Right.
Okay, Jay, so now we're looking at your pedal board here. It's huge. Should we just start at the right side, and you just work your way through? And
all right.
What's this unlabeled thing we're looking at, the trapezoidal-looking one?
That's a pedal Jim from the band Built to Spill built me. It's one side is like a Rangemaster copy, and the other side's a Mark I Tone Bender copy.
Sweet.
And he made me a Tone Bender a few years ago, and I've been using it a lot recording. I really liked it, and so I asked him to make me this double one because, you know, I use the Rangemaster, and I decided I'd like to have the Tone Bender on my pedal board, so I replaced another pedal with that.
Cool. Did he go back and actually like study those circuits and try to replicate them, or just sort of try to use his ears to get the same sounds? Or you just trusted him to do whatever and make it sound like that?
No, I just had the other pedal and I really liked it. I don't know. I'd never tried a real Mark I Tone Bender. They're pretty rare, and I just like the way it sounded, and I've tried some other copies that weren't nearly as good as his sounded to me. I don't know which one sounds more authentic. The MCFX Super Fuzz copy. Some guy in Australia just copied a Super Fuzz. And that's like the smallest one, and to fit on the pedal board, and it sounds good. So, yeah, you need to make as smaller as better to fit as much stuff on as you can.
Now, above that is your most famous pedal that you've had for how many years? Like 30 years or something?
Yeah, I guess I got it in 87 on our first tour.
Uh-huh. And that's a Ram's Head Big Muff?
Right. Yeah, and
now
before that, I was using a Deluxe Big Muff. And then then I got that on tour, and then I started using both of them. And but I really liked that one from then on. I just use that.
Yeah. Guess all that stuff varies. All the pedals vary so much. Yeah. Anyway, even the, from the same period and maybe in the same batch, just probably depends what parts they had in the bin. But yeah, right. How would you contrast the sound to other ones you've heard?
It seems like a bit clearer, like it's really easy to play rhythm. That's like my main distortion for rhythm sounds and lead. So a lot of, some big muffs kind of get really mushy when you're playing rhythm. It's hard to articulate the notes. That's, I guess, the main thing I notice about it.
Now, you've gigged with it for so long. Have you ever had to have it repaired, or besides like foot switches or anything?
Yeah, I've had it repaired a few times. The insides have crumbled a bit now and then.
Okay, so next to that, you've got a little, is that just like a channel? What's the little tiny foot switch right above the?
It's like mutes the whole board, but it stops before the delay, so you can stop it and the delay will keep going.
Cool. And then below that, you've got wah?
Yeah, Jeffrey T's wah, I think RNC3. And now he's put the controls on the outside. They used to be inside, so it was really hard to mess with it if it's nailed down to a pedal board. So I'm glad that, because the wah, I wanted to be able to change, because I rent amps a lot of times, and the wah sounds really different with different amps. It's good to be able to adjust it.
Okay, and then in the middle under your Boss tuner, you've got a Deluxe Electric Mistress. Is that...
Yeah.
Looks pretty old.
Yeah, the old ones definitely sound better to me than the newer ones. And that was one of the first effects I got, when I started playing. I got the Deluxe Big Muff, and then I got the Electric Mistress. And, I've used that. Those were my maybe first two effects I'd be using.
Some guys do mods to those old ones. Did you have any mods done to that?
No. No.
Okay. And to the left, you've got... It's like some sort of rotary speaker or vibrato effect?
Yeah, it's a Univibe copy, the KR Mega Vibe. I've tried out a lot of vibes, and that one just seemed to sound the most authentic to me. Yeah. A real one's a bit too big and unreliable for touring, I'd find.
Okay, and then next to that, you got a CAE twin tremolo.
Right, that's Custom Audio Electronics tremolo, only made in Japan, I guess. Bob Bradshaw has a rack-mounted version over here, but so he got me that for the pedal board, but I guess it's only from Japan.
Okay, and then under that, you got a... And that real tube, the tube works, real tube looks weathered.
Yeah, I haven't had that one that long, a couple years. It was pre-beat up when I got it. Or I think the gold doesn't age as well as the black one. Yeah, I really like the sound of that.
Do you use that as more of a boost, or?
No, that's my kind of what I would call my clean sound.
Okay.
Which I use to turn it down a little bit, so when I hit the big muff, it gets louder. Mm-hmm. Now, my whole concept is the big muff is the loudest thing, through the amp, and so you can't get louder than that. So the clean sound can be louder than that, which I don't want. So I have that to turn it down.
Oh, okay.
To make it lower in volume, so when the big muff comes on, it gets louder. And so yeah, and I have a lot of amps, so I have a lot of headroom to. So to give the clean, it's not very clean, but to me, it's clean. Yeah. And
so got some teeth in it. What do you? I should have asked earlier, but back on the Custom Audio tremolo, what do you like about that, as opposed to some of the other really nice tremolos on the market?
It just makes the sound that I like that I haven't heard in other ones that are out. It's just this choppy, really fast sound.
Looks like you have... So it's got two speeds to switch between, right? And one you've got cranked and the other one almost cranked?
No, I usually crank them both. It's just, you know, that gets moved around the knobs when gets moved, you know, when it from night to night when the case goes on it and stuff. But
okay, so if we skip over the real tube that we already talked about and go down to the bottom there, you got, it says double rock. What's that?
That's a Zvex pedal they built me. You know, I wanted two box of rocks in one pedal.
Okay.
And he built that, and now I guess he's released it as a pedal but made it smaller. Yeah, the production one has a lot more little switches and you can do more stuff. It's got super hard-ons in it. It's a bit more complicated. This is just two box of rocks without the boost circuit in it. And you know, that's the whatever the prototype that just made it, and then other people that worked there, I guess, wanted one, and so they just started making it as a pedal.
And then next to that, you got the Pog 2?
Yeah, I just got that for this tour to try to replicate sort of some of the sounds I had on the record, because I played organ on one song and like a guitar synth kind of mellotron flute on another song, and I can get kind of close to those two sounds with that pedal.
Okay, then above that you've got another Zvex, looks like.
Yeah, it's a lo-fi loop chunky just to make noise and you know, just, you know, if I break a string I can just make a noise and make a loop while I'm switching guitars, or just make a loop to play to or something.
All right, so above the lo-fi loop junkie, you've got a carbon copy from MXR.
Right. And yeah, when that came out, I thought it sounded pretty good, and it doesn't take up much real estate. And yeah, and then above that is a Boss reverb pedal.
Now, sometimes, I don't know, I haven't seen your rack yet, but I know that sometimes you have a Fender rack reverb and stuff. Are you using that on this tour?
No, I've like scaled down over the years, and this is my
this is all the
diluted, you know, down to the essentials kind of thing.
So this is all your effects for this tour?
Yeah.
Looks like you've got a Bradshaw system here. Do you want to tell us how you had him configure that and stuff? Any special things you asked for when he set that up?
Oh, sure. You know, you just kind of tell him what you want it to do, and he kind of makes your dreams come true. But, you know, a lot of the pedals are on loops. Some of them are, there's two to a loop because there's not enough loops in this. It's kind of a small setup. So, you know, you can, like, turn on everything with one switch or turn everything off with another switch, which is good.
Do you ever do that where you turn everything on?
Yeah, sometimes. And you can program these bottom five switches to switch different pedals, and you can like assign every song a different number, you know, and you can, for a bank, so you could, you know, have the five pedals on the bottom switch on different things depending on the song if you wanted it to do different things, which I do a bit.
If you were out around town here in Madison and you went into a shop and saw some pedal you just had to have, would you feel comfortable or like you could just swap it into this rig, or is it pretty involved to get it to work together with everything?
Yeah, it depends really.
What your tech's for?
No, the tech has no idea what's going on here. I'm the only one who, and Bradshaw probably, who can tell what's going on with this thing. But yeah, it's possible, but it would have to fit. You know, like the Pog thing I replaced on tour with something the same size. So that worked out, but a lot of times it's hard to fit it in something else in.
So like before you started this tour, did you sit down with Bob and you had all these pedals and he helped you configure all the switches and programming and everything, or did he just sort of teach you the basics of the whole system and then you just take it from there whenever you feel like changing stuff you do?
Yeah, I sent it, you know, I swapped out some pedals, yeah, before this tour, like the first pedal, the tone bender thing, and I put a different wah in, and the real tube I switched with another one. But then, yeah, in the carbon copy and the lo-fi loop chunky, I put in and replaced something. And but then after I got it back, I put in the pog after I'd already gotten it back from Bradshaw. But that wasn't too hard because it was kind of fits. You can see it's barely kind of, it's almost not fitting in there. But.
Okay, well, do you want to show us a few of your favorite sounds?
Yeah, I'm playing considerably quieter for your thing. So this is what my clean sound, which is the real tube. Which I, you know, I guess would be distorted to some people, but it's really clean to, you know, for me. And yeah, I can turn it off, so this is just the guitar going straight into the amp, and it's really low right now, so it sounds pretty lame without any effects. Pretty much I'm never playing straight, there's always some effect going. Yeah, there's never a time when one of these isn't on. So that's the clean. This is my that's like my distorted rhythm sound. That's the big muff, but it's also going through this switch, this knob here, which is another level. It's just a level kind of master volume for the big muff.
Is it sort of part of a buffer circuit, or?
Well, yeah, I can just, you know, it's going through a volume knob, so I can turn it down. So this is the big muff all the way up, which is how it's set. And through the knob, it's just quiet. It's just quieter, and it makes it a little cleaner for rhythm and singing. It's usually, yeah, if I'm singing, it'll be on that setting so that I'm not blasting the, but for then leads, I can turn it up a little. This is an even quieter with reverb setting, which is kind of, I use once in a while. That's going through the double rock thing. And this is the big muff with the super fuzz together. So that's my nice. Basic five. That's like the default ones I would use. And if for different songs, that'll be a lot of the songs. But then for sometimes when I want to switch different things, I'll, you know, switch the number. Like for a new song where I wanted it to sound kind of like an organ thing and playing guitar at the same time, I had the pog.
I know you guys are all about, you have pretty drastic shifts in dynamics and volume sometimes, but like when you had your super clean sound on with just the reverb, it was way quieter. There's not that big of a gap when you're, like when you've got the power tubes pumping, I assume the differences aren't that drastic?
No, they are, yeah. I like the drastic, you know, volume changes. The Mistress Big Muff is, it, you know, one of the first things I did. It was like the jet plane sound that I liked that. That's like one of my first big effect sounds I had. The tone bender thing I use a lot with the big muff, like for more fuzz. And then like without the big muff, it's kind of cool. It's kind of gated. A bit buzzy in this club, you know, the power's not so great, but
we're hearing this JMP in the middle, right? That's right. What we were hearing just now.
Yeah.
What year is that?
I think it's 68. You know, super PA. And I guess that's the first Plexi amp I ever bought. I was going to buy a 65 JTM 45 at the store, and it looked cool, but I didn't really like the sound that much. And they had this, and it was, less than half the price and sounded a lot better. So I figured I'd use this more.
Have you changed anything about it?
I think maybe one of the sets of channels was, modded to be a super lead. But I'm not even sure, but
that you don't use that?
Yeah, I do. I switch sometimes between them. I can't decide. Sometimes one side will sound better.
Do you have particular tubes that you prefer for all your amps, like different brands or anything?
No, not really. Just whatever ones don't blow up, which is hard to find. I usually blow up a lot of tubes, a lot of output transformers.
Now, you're famous for your volume and your live shows. You've pretty much got it cranked, huh?
No, I don't. Well, right now, because I was demoing it for you guys, it's on almost zero. But I usually have them.
I'm looking over the right side one, sorry.
I usually have them halfway up or something, maybe.
Okay.
It's not like they get much louder if you turn it up. They just kind of get more distorted, yeah. That's some beat-up cab I got for $40. And
holy crap.
Well, it didn't have speakers in it, but I thought it looked cool, and the guy claimed it was the Scorpions, but I'm not sure.
That's sold you.
Well, no, $40 sold.
What speakers did you put in it?
I think it has those 30-watt Celestions. At first, I had vintage 30s in it. I'm not sure. I think maybe I like vintage 30s better. And that's kind of similar. Just I bought that empty too, the bottom cab, a few years ago, and put vintage 30s in that, I think. These are both early 70s cabs that were both in a fire that I had, and I got them recovered at purple. But I seem to like the 70s cabs the best.
Is it more, you think, because of the wood or...
Yeah, I don't know, just something about these. The 60s ones are heavier, seem to sound a bit treblier, and the early 70s ones are a bit warmer sounding.
Like they resonate a little more or something? Yeah. What's on top of that? What's the purple one? Is that...
That's a super bass. I think that's 68 also. It was originally purple, although that's not the original box. I had that all redone, and I still have the original purple box at home.
So the cabs for these two 412s and the head got pretty damaged in the fire?
Well, I just didn't want to, the original one, it was getting a little beat, and I didn't want to destroy it because it was original. So when I got this done, I had some other box recovered from another amp, and I'd switch around amps in different boxes a lot of times.
I totally admit I'm not an old Marshall guru, but are the feet different on this than you see on most, those sort of domed feet?
The box is from a 71 Marshall.
Now, you've got three full stacks here. Are you running them all at the same time?
Yeah.
And how do you route the signal? And you've got a
on and going, I don't switch between any amps. They're all just on all the time. I just switch the pedals, and all the volume differences and sound comes from the pedals.
Okay, so on the stack here on the left is a Hiwatt Custom 100. What year is that?
That's a, I think, 71 DR103.
Any mods done to that?
No, those. Yeah, I've kind of gotten into Hiwatts later on. Within the last 5 years or something. But
what can you tell us about the cabs?
Those are the newer Marshall hand wired cabs. That they have the Plexi hand wired heads that go with it.
Mm-hmm. What about the speakers? Do you have the same speakers in those that you have in that? Older ones?
Those have the 30-watt Celestions. And those are original, I don't know what they are. They were just early 70s Celestions. I'm not sure.
over here you've got a Victoria twin clone.
Yeah, it's a high-powered Tweed twin copy, I guess.
Like 100 watt?
Or at least I think it's 80. I think the model number is 80212 because it's 80 watts and 212 inches.
And that's running all the time with the three stacks too.
Right.
Is it true a lot of times in the studio you use smaller like deluxes and stuff to get, you crank those up to get your tones as opposed to, I don't know, do you use Marshalls that much in the studio or usually just the smaller Fenders?
I use I got this 59 Vox AC15 and a Tweed Deluxe and a Tweed Bandmaster. That's pretty much the only amps I use, and maybe another Vox or something.
What inspired you to like go toward the stacks and this much higher powered rig for live stuff? Is it more like, is it just more visceral and in your face when you're playing live? Because I mean, it's got to be a fairly different feel with these than with some of those amps, right? Or tone wise?
Yeah, I just, you know, I started out with the bigger amps, and yeah, I like playing live. You know, I like to move the air and feel it and stuff. And yeah, in the studio, I found I can get some cooler sounds, you know, with smaller amps. They're rather, you know, it's just a whole different thing. I don't approach it the same way, or I don't even, you know, I don't play jazz masters really in the studio or either. So it's just a whole different world for me.
Speaking of that, on your new album, I Bet on Sky, which guitars were your main guitars for that?
Main guitar I play in the studio is like a 58 Tele. It was my favorite guitar. Been on most albums since I got it, you know, which was in maybe 91 or something. For rhythm, I'll use some P90 guitar, usually like a Les Paul Jr. a lot of times. It's kind of like my sound. It's like rhythm is P90 and deluxe and lead is Tele through the Vox. So it's kind of...
What made you originally decide to use Jazzmasters more live and the Tele and the other stuff in the studio?
You know, just being able to experiment when I got more money. You know, I had the Jazzmaster and the Marshalls, and then, you know, as I made more albums and got to try other stuff, and some studios had a lot of gear that, you know, you could try, then, and, you know, I just got interested in different things for the studio, I guess.
Now, one thing that occurs to me as a big Tele fan, and you were talking about your action being really high, and I was saying mine's pretty high, but damn, that is really high. How do you, like, does your Tele, your 58, 59 Tele have action that high too? And if so, like how, like, I don't know if the screws on my saddles on my Tele would go up that high.
Yeah, no, it's not as high. And it's got a top loader bridge. I guess they only had that in 58, so not, I'm used to that. So I guess that's, you know, part of the sound of it too. But yeah, for rhythm, I don't particularly need the action to be that high. It's just more for leads. So if I'm playing leads on a guitar, I'll have to have it pretty high.
What strings are you using on all these guitars and gauges and stuff?
I have 10s and they're Ernie Ball Cobalt. I just started using this year and they're pretty cool. I've only broken one string on the whole tour, which is pretty amazing for me. I usually would, you know, break a string in like 20 minutes or something, so they seem to last a lot longer.
Have you noticed a difference in sound with that different metal or whatever?
I can't. It's hard to tell because, you know, you don't plug in the whole thing for like a year, and then it's hard to tell that minute of a difference, I guess.
Cool. Well, thanks so much, man. We appreciate it. Cool. Have a great gig.
Thanks.
I'm Sean Hammond. Thanks for watching PremierGuitar.com.